Happy Sabbath, everybody. Hope you're doing well today. I'm feeling a little off-kilter myself. The girls have been struggling with like flu symptoms all week, and I feel like I kind of have a little bit of that going on with myself at the moment. So you may get a more concise sermon today. I actually had thought to go on with one topic and kind of switch last minute, or last night. But first of all, I'd like to just open this up with another word of prayer. I guess you bow with me. Father in heaven, Lord God, I thank you for each and every one that's here today, Lord. I pray, Lord, that you'd be with our hearts and our souls and our minds, Lord. I pray, Lord, that you'd guide us. I pray, Lord, that you'd fill us with your Spirit, that we can walk in your ways and do your will, Lord, and that we can be faithful servants to you and continue to have faith in you, Lord. And I just pray, Lord, that you be with us today as we look at your word. I pray, Lord, that as we look at it, Lord, that it would be more ingrained in us, Lord, that it would be more part of our lives, and that we can adopt it into our hearts to a greater extent. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. One of the things that we've been studying lately in our adult quarterly classes, the quarterlies that we've been going through, is the church's vision statements. It kind of presented to us last February or January, we went to the Super Sabbath that the church had continental conference had come up with these vision statements and an idea of things that make us a vibrant church. And we've looked at various things, but the thing that we're looking at right now is to be engaging in witness. And that's kind of what I'd like to look at today. Some of this is probably maybe old hat for some of you, but I think it's good to review it. And basically, what we're looking at today is the principle of the gospel, and what we when we witness, we are going to witness of what we testify to the things that we know, and that I think the gospel message is really a simple message. It's not complicated, and so it's something I think that we should always be prepared to be able to be used by God if God presents us with the opportunity to be able to testify to someone or to others of what we know. And if there's anybody out there today that has not accepted Christ, maybe through going through this that you'll gain an understanding of what the gospel message is. One technique or illustration that's used is what is known as the bridge illustration. I didn't bring a diagram or anything, but the idea is that you have a gap or separation between man and God. And the gap is not good. In the illustration, it explains why the gap is there. It explains you go through different verses. It explains what the solution is, where the opportunity is to get past that gap, to get to the other side of the bridge, so to speak. And the connecting bridge that gets you from one side to the other is basically the gospel message and the good news of Jesus Christ and what he did for us on the cross. There's various verses that are applied to this illustration. I think there's probably a multitude of verses that you could use. And I think I've seen it with different verses applied, because I don't think that's uncommon. The Bible says by the multitude or by two or three witnesses shall everything be established. There's always usually multiple verses that say the same principles and same concept. And I think there's many stories in the Bible that present the same message. The same message of what happens when you sin against God. The same message of finding that redemption through Christ. Even as early as going into the first few chapters of Genesis, we see with Adam and Eve that they sinned against God. They became ashamed. They found themselves to be separated. And then we also see in the prophecy there of the curse on the serpent and what would happen with the seed of the woman to crush its head. We see that. We even see in that, in the very beginning, the idea of this gospel message and what the solution is for the consequences of our sin. And we also see where the initial sin came from. Other examples is we see like with Isaiah. He recognized his sin before as he was being called to be a prophet. The prophet Isaiah recognized his uncleanness, and he was touched with a hot coal, and his unclean lips were made pure again. Beto, he read the story there where Philip meets the Ethiopian eunuch, who's the servant there with Candace, queen of Ethiopia. I had him read that there because I think it's a good illustration of an example of where the Spirit of God is working with this individual. This guy's reading the book of Isaiah. I think in his heart and his mind, the Spirit is working with him. He's being called to this gospel. And God sends Philip to meet with him. And he's reading the book of Isaiah there, and it's talking about what Jesus did and how he was being crucified there through that passage there out of Isaiah. But he's not quite understanding it, even though I think the Spirit of God is working with him. And he asks Philip to provide an explanation. And Philip uses that scripture to present the gospel message to him. I noticed that in this passage that the Ethiopian, he says to him, he's at the end, he says, "There's water there. What prevents me from being baptized?" And Philip tells him, if you believe with all your heart, you believe in the Messiah, that you may be baptized. It tells me somewhere in this explanation that Philip had given to the Ethiopian, he must have explained that concept to him. I think as a body, and the body is with our vision as a church to be a church that's engaged in witness, that it doesn't hurt for us to go through the verses that we can use to explain this gospel message of Christ of where we're at or where we've been and how we've come to Christ and the principles that are involved with that. I think primarily, first of all, like you see in this example with Philip, the guy he's reading the book of Isaiah. I think to me that's an indication that there is some acknowledgement there that there is a God. So I think when we're witnessing, it helps if we have two things in mind here. Is that first of all, from the other person, if the Spirit of God is working with them, they're going to lean towards the idea that there is a God, and that also that that this is His Word, and that if we review Scripture in it, that's God's Word, and that's something that can be used to guide us and direct us in our path. In James 2:9 it says, "Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble." And I know we come across people and they, you know, we say, "Do you believe in God?" And it's, "Well, yeah, I believe in God." But there's more to it than believing in God. That's a good start. Even in that verse there, it says, "If you believe in God, you're doing good." But then it also notes, you know, but the devils also believe and they tremble. So there's also an indication that there's more needed. Why is there more needed? If you look at Romans 3:23, it says, For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I think this is a difficult thing for us at times, is to even get to the point where we recognize that we're sinners. You know, we want to say, "Well, I'm a pretty good guy. I don't need God." But if we acknowledge the truth of the Scripture, that we've all come short of God's glory, we have all sinned. There's other verses and other places in the Bible that, you know, we've all gone astray. There's other verses that we can use, but we use this from Romans 3:23. It establishes that, you know, that there's none of us out there that haven't sinned. But what's the problem with sin? This is kind of the bad news part of the gospel. Romans 6:23. It says, "For the wages of sin are death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." At this point, we're kind of emphasizing the first part of that verse. That when we have sin, there's consequences. Just like in that story at the beginning with Adam and Eve. They were ejected out of the Garden of Eden there. They went from walking with God to being ashamed and afraid of Him. Isaiah 59:2 says, "But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid His face from you, that He will not hear." So we're on this opposite side of where we want to be with God at this point. If we can acknowledge that we're sinners, we have a problem. We know that the consequences of that is death. That we're being separated from God. We don't want to be apart from God. In Hebrews 9:27 it says, "And it is appointed unto man once to die, but after this the judgment." We know that we all die, but then there's another judgment after that. That's the ultimate death, which would be the extra second death, separation from God. From getting to the problem, then we start to get into the good news of what's the solution. 1st, we have to recognize who God is and what He did for us. In John 1:1, it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." In 1:14, John 1:14 says, "And the Word was made flesh, and it dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, and the glory of only the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." We begin to recognize that there's a God that who came and took the form of a man. He was made flesh, and he dwelt among us. In Romans 5:8, it says, "But God commends his love towards us, and then while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." When we were not worthy, God sacrificed his life for us. He loved us while we're still sinners. He's working out a plan of salvation. First Corinthians 15:3 says, "For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." Not only died for us, he was also resurrected for us. The first of the resurrection. So we're beginning to see in this gospel message the path, the bridge that God has made for us to get back to God from being separated from God, as according to Isaiah 59:2, to getting to the other side where we can be unified with God and close to him again. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." This is the fulfillment of the promise and the prophecy that was made in Genesis chapter 3. What's required on our part? We know it's a gift from God. In Isaiah 1:9, he wants us to come to him. I mean, Isaiah 1:18, he says, "Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, and they shall be white as snow, though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." God wants us to take advantage of that bridge. He's inviting us. He's saying, "Come, let's reason together." Another verse of similar concept, Revelation 3:20. It says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him, and he with me." God is inviting us to cross that bridge. John 1:12 says, "But as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor the will of man, but of God." He says, "Come to me, receive me." In Mark chapter 16, verse 16, includes the concept of baptism. I turn to Mark 16, 16. "He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned." He calls us to accept him, to accept his grace, to accept his love, to believe, to receive him, to be baptized in his name. Romans 10:9 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. There's other verses, I think, that present these concepts, this concept of being, acknowledging our sin, acknowledging that there's a God, acknowledging that He's the one that came and sacrificed His life for us. The idea that it's a gift from God to accept Him, and to be translated into His kingdom, to believe and to receive Him, to be baptized in His name, to give Him our love, to accept His Spirit in our lives, to seek to follow Him. I think this is a pretty simple message. I know we sometimes can make things complicated, and then, you know, there's more, lots of depth we can get into the scripture. We can study into trying to figure out exactly what's going on with Gog and Magog and different things like that. But I think what I found is a lot of times when we read, even in these other parts of the Bible, that a lot of times it's the same message. Looking in Revelation and different stories, it may be presented in a different way, with more symbolism or poetry. More often than not, it lends to the same message. That we are all sinners. That we all need God. That Christ is the bridge through His sacrifice to bring us to Him. And that what we're called to do is accept and receive and believe. One reason I decided to go over these scriptures today is because I know sometimes in my life that the opportunity has arisen and it seems like I didn't have the right words to say. Those scriptures that should be ingrained and ready to be presented, as Philip presented to the Ethiopian, could be like a missed opportunity when God calls us to be ready to testify and to testify the things that we know. So I thought it'd be good to review those scriptures that we can have at our fingertips, ready to present, ready to teach. As Jesus said, to go and teach all nations, teach them the things that I taught you. And I also thought, you know, that maybe there's somebody here today that hadn't fully grasped that message yet. But maybe there's a person here today that being shown that path, that way of jumping over that gap, getting across that bridge from being separated to God to being close to Him. To be able to spread this good news of the gospel, I think, is one of our primary purposes. I think I'm running out of gas up here. I'm feeling a little lightheaded. But that's a simple message, but it's one that we should know well. be ready to share. I'd like to pray that that God would that help us to be engaging in witness as a body, so that when His Spirit works, that we're ready to be a part of it. Because I think if you look at the example there with Philip, is definitely God's Spirit was working with this Ethiopian. I pray that God will bless you and keep you. And let His light shine upon you and be gracious to you. God bless.